Welcome back to the Breakthrough Podcast, Discovering New Pathways. My name is Omar Muhammad, helping you improve and progress in business and in life. All right, this is brought to you by the Minority Business Development Agency out of Washington, D.C. And before we get to our special guests, I want to talk about some of the activities that we have coming up. So those who are not familiar with us, you can find us at EDAC Morgan. That's E-D-A-C Morgan.com. We have a number of activities, including this podcast that we do. We have an entrepreneurial training bootcamp available to those organizations that are working with formerly incarcerated individuals. We have specialized training. So if you know of any individuals that are interested in a real estate industry, we have specialized training that's coming up. We also have meetups. You know, we have people that have come through the entrepreneurial training program and now are looking to support each other. So we're going to start doing some meetups. But along with the meetups, we're going to make sure that we do some continuing ed as well. So it may be a workshop on how to access email marketing for your customer base. So we'll be doing that. We continue to do the relationship with Returning Citizen Magazine with Todd Bozeman, DeBose. So we write an article and we also highlight a returning citizen who is an entrepreneur as well. So as you can see, we do a number of activities supporting individuals who are formerly incarcerated. And we partner with other organizations because we don't know everything. You know, we good at the entrepreneurship piece, and we want to make sure that we're surrounding those individuals that we're working with some wraparound services. So we do some outreach to some organizations. So with that said, as you know, this podcast is all about returning citizens and those organizations that are supporting them. And we have a special guest. We have Vanessa Bright. Hey, Vanessa, how are you?
Hey, Omar. I'm great.
All right, good deal. All right, so before we get into, let's go right into it. You know, tell us about your organization and, you know, if you want to share the screen so that the individuals can see your website, you know, that would be great.
All right. For some reason, the website is not up right now. I'll just start, tell you a little bit about myself first.
Okay.
So Vanessa Bright, my organization is Maryland Reentry Resource Center. We launched the organization in 2019. The vision for the organization actually came from when I was teaching entrepreneurship and financial literacy at a women's prison in Jessup, MCIW. Oh, wow. After, you know, getting to know the women in my class and really listening and realizing their stories, I felt that I wanted to help them more than I was able to help them in a weekly class. So the vision for the organization was to have a nonprofit, which was always Maryland Reentry. And the other part would be a social enterprise. At the time, it was Bee Haven, a lip balm company, because I had recently become a beekeeper. I was a beekeeper. So the lip balm company was actually supposed to support the nonprofit side by, providing revenue. So I actually started the for-profit side first. I can't remember if it was 2016, 2017, a new Whole Foods opened up in College Park, Maryland, and I was able to get my lip balm company in there. But I mean, as you know, as a entrepreneur extraordinaire, what it takes to, you know, build a brand.
Absolutely.
And, compete against existing companies like Burt's Bees and those sorts of things. So yeah. I didn't feel like I had the capital or the time to really put into getting it where I needed to be. So I continued working my job because I was doing that part time, and then found myself in between jobs in 2019. Decided, you know, I guess the time is now to just go ahead and start this Maryland Reentry, this vision that I had, because I couldn't think of anything else that I really wanted to do or that I was passionate about. Mm-hmm. So in April, I did an Ignite talk, which is like a little local TED Talk called The Revolving Door of Incarceration. And then May, I held my first fundraiser, and then June started seeing clients. And it was just me initially, and then I was able to get an intern from our community college. And that kind of brings us to where we are now. And so I have three part-time, I'm the only full-time person. I have three part-time staff. We are dedicated to providing individualized case management to folks that are returning from incarceration. And what that looks like, it varies from person to person. It could be something as what we think is simple is getting identification, but it's really not that simple when you don't have birth certificate or all the documents that you need. So getting ID, it could be food, clothing. Some people come to us homeless, and so we had to get them, you know, stabilized and housed. Some people may need assistance with longer term housing. So we provide all those tangible things, as well as working with them one on one to, you know, help them alleviate whatever barriers they're facing to successful reentry. So finding a job, getting mental health counseling, all of those things. And since we, you know, we had just really just gotten started before COVID hit. So we were able to benefit for a lot of the COVID money and actually, you know, try to increase the level and impact of our services. But today we are still working mostly virtually. So we're hoping that we're gonna benefit from the project where we've applied for that grant. And our hope is that we will have an actual space in January. And we think that will help us enhance our services because we'll actually have a physical place for people to come to. We can add the soft skills training on a group basis that we've always wanted to do. And we're also working on a social enterprise, and we'll be able to, a new social enterprise, we'll be able to run that out of that space as well.
Absolutely. So I do want to talk about the resources for returning citizens, but this is also a teachable moment as well. You know, oftentimes people start a nonprofit and they look for grants. Your idea was, what if I start a business and have that business support that? Why did you want to start there first?
I've run another nonprofit that somebody else founded. And so I know what it feels like to be consistently asking, begging for money. And I didn't want to be in that spot. And because, you know, I have a heart for entrepreneurship, you know, I thought I could do two of the things that I was passionate about at the same time. And we still are moving on that. It's just not going to be lip balm, but we have another plan that we're working on.
All right. Good deal. And, you know, as it relates to nonprofits, you know, so how are people finding you?
So we're based in Anne Arundel County. We serve mostly folks from Anne Arundel County, but we do get folks from all around the state. And the vision when I named the organization was for it to be statewide. So that's why it's Maryland Reentry Resource Center. But most people come to us from referrals. Our local police department in Annapolis actually has a reentry program under Robert Horn, who was once in Baltimore. So we get a lot of referrals from the Annapolis Police Department. We get referrals from the court systems, other nonprofits, because we're the only one that's strictly focused on returning citizens, where other people may do some work with returning citizens, but we're the only one focused on that population in our county. We get it from word of mouth from former and current clients, family members, pretty much anywhere.
Absolutely. And, you know, so right now it's mostly on, well, I guess all of it's online.
Well, you know, so we're doing the work with our clients. So it's one-on-one phone calls, or it might be a Zoom session. We have met people in public locations. You know, if we're taking something, if they have a tangible need, we will actually take it to them. You know, sometimes we have groceries sent through Instacart. So they're different touch points, but it's still mostly a virtual operation.
All right. And you and I met at an event that you had. So talk about that. Talk about that.
So, you know, I started out teaching entrepreneurship to inmates. So it's always been a vision and a goal to continue that work. And so we had our first entrepreneurship and networking conference on October first or the second, but it was a Saturday. We had great speakers like you, and we had
Exciting.
a lender from Baltimore Community Lending came in. We had somebody talk about social media. We had a SCORE counselor, which is part of the Small Business Administration. They actually mentor entrepreneurs. So we had them come in and do a presentation. We had somebody from the library. They talked about market feasibility. So we tried to cover all bases at that conference, and we planned for that to be an annual event.
All right, good deal. So, you know, you may not get this a lot, you know, but I know you do a number of interviews, and you know, I'm always asking, or Leon would ask. Leon is the co-host. He would ask, so what do you need? As a nonprofit.
As a nonprofit, always the number one is going to be money.
Absolutely. And that becomes number one. Yeah.
Yeah, it's always number one. We actually need to develop our board. So, you know, we're looking for board members. You know, we want to create a, I don't like to do a whole bunch of different little fundraisers. We're looking to increase our like individual and business donations, again, to diversify your funding streams, as any business should be doing. I mean, a lot of times people think a nonprofit means you're not supposed to make money, but you really are.
That's right.
It's just the purpose that you use that money for is different. So you need to function like a business. You know, if anybody had fundraising expertise, wanted to volunteer some hours to help us come up with that fundraising strategy. Mm-hmm. You know, people that will mentor returning citizens, that's another need.
Okay. All right. And board members. So board members. Fundraising, or is that separate from the board?
Well, no, the board, that one of their primary responsibilities besides governing the organization is fundraising. So, But the other thing I was saying about fundraising, you know, there are people who can plan, you know, wonderful events and have an event that people want to come to, whether they care about the cause or not. You know, there's somebody like that where we can get that stellar event that we have annually. That would be great.
All right. Good deal. So, and what do you see as the long-term mission of, or I should say mission, goal of the Reentry Resource Center?
So we have a few things that we want to work towards. So we know that a lot of our clients have suffered a lot of trauma prior to incarceration, and then they're re-traumatized while incarcerated. So we want to add mental health services. I recently got my license as a licensed master social worker. So we were going to start that process in January, adding that as a service. Housing is another big barrier. Yeah. So we would like to own a couple of houses ourselves where we can control the environment, control the services. And actually, it'll be less expensive than, you know, putting people in hotels temporarily or paying somebody else to housing. So it also would save us money if we had our own place where we could control those things. And then to start our social enterprise and actually, you know, grow it and all those good things.
All right. Good deal. And you started the nonprofit back in, you said, 2019.
June of 2019 was the first time I saw a client.
Oh, wow. All right. So are you able to talk about successes? What are some of your successes since 2019?
So successes around, you know, clients, we've done a lot of like crisis management. We want to move past the crisis management, but because people are coming out of incarceration and they haven't been prepared while incarcerated, they are in crisis, especially if they don't have the support systems, the family relationships when they come home. Yeah. And so if you go home, you go in with a less than stellar work history, less than stellar education level, and you come out the same way, we're really setting people up for failure.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, we had to do a lot of that work, just getting people stabilized. And, you know, our goal is really to move people from surviving to thriving. But we spend so much time trying to get them to, you know, through that survival mode. We haven't really yet got to the thriving part. Now, there are always exceptions. But, you know, we've been doing a lot of getting people IDs and driver's education and getting them a job as opposed to getting them the career, you know, that sort of stuff. So we do want to move from there, but it's still such a great need. And until we do something within corrections that impacts people universally throughout the state, we're going to continue to, you know, have that problem.
Yeah, that's important. You know, even when it comes down to entrepreneurship, you know, I always tell people, you know, even those individuals who don't have, who haven't been formally incarcerated, entrepreneurship is tough. Now you're working with individuals that have other challenges to them. Mm-hmm. It even becomes tougher, you know. So, you know, we do focus on entrepreneurship, but we also focus on, you know, what if that person is not ready for entrepreneurship? Can we develop some type of entrepreneurial skill set assessment mm-hmm. that they can take and they can begin to implement that while working mm-hmm. for other people until they get ready?
Right. I don't tell anybody to quit their day job and just start a business venture, because unless you know, built up the capital and the savings to do that, it takes time to be able to not only make a product but a profit, but also to support your current lifestyle while you're building that business.
Absolutely.
And it just doesn't happen overnight.
Absolutely. So you started off working with women. Are you seeing just women, or are you seeing women and men?
Seeing women and men, and some youth that are involved in youth. You know, detention. Okay. Yeah, juvenile detention. Uh-huh. But it's still majority men, just because mass incarceration numbers are majority African American males.
Absolutely. And what age group are the young people you're seeing?
So the young people are usually teens, you know, up to like 21 or something like that.
Okay. And, you know, you say you got involved. How did you get involved in this again? I know you say you were teaching at the women's prison.
I was working for the University of Maryland. So University of Maryland's land grant university. Yeah. So they have an extension program. I was an extension educator. I heard that one of my colleagues was teaching in a prison. He was in the Baltimore office. So I went to see him and decided that's what I wanted to do too. And so I reached out to the warden and was able to get in there and start teaching financial literacy and entrepreneurship. And then the rest is history. So I don't have that experience like, oh, well, I was incarcerated or a family member, you know, I mean, I've had family members, but, and my sister's a criminal attorney, but it was not until I taught that class that I really got to know about the prison system, because as being a, you know, you're a professor, basically, you have to do research. And as I started researching and I read Michelle Alexander's book, and then it really opened my eyes to mass incarceration, which is something I never thought, you know, even thought about, before doing that research.
Wow. What was the reception of those individuals who saw you coming in, teaching them, giving them really some additional information and possibly skill set?
Oh, I my class was very popular. I continue to have a wait list. Wow. Unfortunately, when I started Maryland Reentry, Corrections said that there was a conflict, and so they no longer needed my services.
Oh, wow.
And then COVID hit, and I really haven't been able to get back in there, because it's best to start working with folks while they're incarcerated. So I'm hoping, you know, new governor, I'm hoping things will turn around. I hope we're going to have a more positive things happen within corrections, so that they will embrace organizations like myself that want to teach a real valuable skill. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with teaching art and yoga and all those other things, but you need the things taught that are going to really change people's lives. And right now, the current correction system, in my opinion, is not there.
Yeah, the skill set, you know, what skills are you offering individuals prior to them getting out?
So. Right. Exactly.
All right. So I got to go back to this beekeeper. You know, I'm not going to let that slide by. So beekeeper, I was always interested in being a beekeeper. And now I really meet a beekeeper. How did you get involved in being a beekeeper?
I let one of my friends talk me into it. She was retiring young from a government career. And I said, "So what are you going to do next?" And she said, "I'm going to be a beekeeper." And I thought she was teasing me. And she was really serious. And, she started telling me about, without bees, what it, the importance of bees to the environment and our whole
Absolutely.
food system. And I bought into it. I started researching that too. And then so I joined her and, got a hive. I actually had some hives installed over at MCIW. I don't know if they're still there,
Oh,
but
wow.
because I was, working in the extension office, we have master gardeners, master beekeepers. So I had people to, teach me. And we put three hives over there as well.
Wow. A actual beekeeper. Okay. All right. All right.
Yeah, I had the suit and everything.
It's this fable. What's a fable that I listen to? It's called The Beekeeper something, and he talks about being a beekeeper and how it really and he relates it to entrepreneurship. So I'm like, man, that would be an interesting hobby to get involved with.
And it's still very much needed.
Okay, interesting. All right, you trying to talk me into being a beekeeper? I'm gonna have to look at that. All right, so is there anything that I didn't ask you that you want to share?
I want to try to pull up the website for folks,
Okay.
so let me do that.
And this is the website to
Yeah, this is our yeah, it's here it is. So it's mdrrc.org. We tried to make it simple. When I first started, it was Maryland Reentry Resource Center.org, and now it's just a whole bunch.
It's a whole lot.
Yeah.
All right, what are we seeing here? Walk us through.
So this is this is the home page, and then it talks about, kind of who we are, why we do this thing. Basically, we want to fight and reduce recidivism. Rates are currently at about 41% in the state of Maryland. And what recidivism is the rate at which people return to incarceration once they are released from prison, looking at a 3-year time span. And it talks about our services. So soft skills, education, that's done more one-on-one. That's what I was saying. Once we get our space, we're going to be doing that, more in a group setting. And so those are all the skills that you need, not only for your job, but just to function in life. So communication skills, financial literacy skills, problem solving, conflict resolution, those sorts of things. And then when possible, we do connect individuals with a mentor. We would like for all our clients to have a mentor. And mentors just provide that extra level of accountability because they're walking side by side with the person, in addition to the case manager and any other family support system, that the person may have, because it takes a village. So,
Absolutely.
then these are ways that you can work with us, volunteer, donate, and all these go to a form, depending upon what it is. So, and that's working with us. And then we have our Meet the Team, and Kendra is our administrative services manager. She is my right arm. Delicia is our case manager extraordinaire. Excellent job. People love working with her. She's really passionate about helping people. And then Laura is our employer outreach and employee retention specialist. So she works more with getting employers that will work with us and hire clients and building those relationships, as well as she is working on our new social enterprise business venture. And then I think I'm on here somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah. And then there's a little bit about me and my background, which we already talked about.
Right. Good deal. Good deal. All right. And oh, okay. Oh, look at this.
Okay, and so a part of my goal to help people start the reentry process sooner than later, I wrote and published a reentry workbook. And it kind of walks folks through the process of, you know, where you get that ID and all those things you need, setting goals, financial literacy plan, how to budget, how to improve your credit. There's even a module in there on entrepreneurship, and then as a character building model as well. So it's looking at the whole person. It's a holistic approach to starting reentry, like the day after your sentence began, instead of waiting to the end, because ultimately everybody's responsible themselves. So you can't wait on corrections to get it right. You can start now, start yourself.
Oh, that's awesome. All right. And people get, this is Amazon, right? Yep.
Right. People can get it on Amazon.
Okay. So what made you write this workbook?
Because of, you know, what we were seeing in our clients and what they were missing. And just knowing that reentry programs, they vary from institution to institution. They're not consistent. And, you know, one institution, people may get the world and support, and another somewhere they might not get anything at all, except that little stipend I think they give you when they release you, and so you can catch the bus or, you know, whatever. So this is just a consistent way for people to get the information and start working on their plan now. And I don't know if you know Chris Wilson in Baltimore that wrote Master Plan. Yeah. Yep. So his book and his story was kind of a impetus for putting this workbook together, because the one thing that he did do while he was incarcerated was to create a plan. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you see how successful he has been with, you know, entrepreneurship and different things. And so I thought if more people were able to create that plan, then they would have that same sort of success when they came home.
Oh man, that's great. We definitely will put this in our toolbox. So we'll get a couple of copies of this, and, you know, definitely share this with individuals. And, you know, as people are tuned into the conversation that you and I have, you know, they'll make that purchase as well. You know, because this is a tool that, you know, individuals that are formerly incarcerated can use. So good work with that. Congratulations with that.
Thank
as
you.
Well.
Thank you.
With that. So, all right. Any final thoughts as we come toward the end? Contact information you want to give out, any events you got?
So the website again is mdrrc.org. On the contact page, you can get our phone number, but I'll give it to you. It's 410-429-0107. And then all the ways you can connect with us, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, or on our contact page. The book is Create Your Life Plan Now, Your Blueprint to Reentry. And it is available on Amazon. And it's not just for inmates. I mean, other people can find value in those same tools. But that is the audience that I am addressing throughout the book.
All right. I love that. I love it. All right. Well, Vanessa, really appreciate you coming on board and sharing with us, you know, the resources that you have for formerly incarcerated individuals. Again, you know, you can visit the website as well as go on Amazon, type in Create Your Life Plan Now, Your Blueprint to Reentry. Is it on in your website too? Or is
it is not on the website right now, okay. But it will be soon.
Okay. All right. And so you could definitely go there and tune in there. Well, look forward to collaborating with you in the near future. And yes. Again, you know, thank you for the work that you do.
And thank you.
All right. Good deal. All right. So with that said, you know, don't forget, you can email us at omar@edacmorgan.com. Go onto the website, edacmorgan.com as well. Find all resources related to returning citizens. And we're on Instagram at Ride Small Biz. That's Ride Small Biz. Until next time, continue to improve and progress. Peace. This is Bookshop Production.